Good morning. I am a cheerleader for the Jesus of Christmas. I am a cheerleader for the Jesus of Christmas. Don't lose your wonder. I've been saying it for almost 5 weeks now. Don't lose your wonder of the seed. Don't lose your wonder of the word. Don't lose your wonder of this majestic story. It has been coming alive today. I woke up, Linda just gave me, she was a fire hydrant of the Christmas story this morning and all those things there. And I said, I can't take all this morning. I've been reading all this and I got something to say today. I got two more messages to make and I'm doing it and they're getting all mixed up on me right now. But here's the message that she was shouting, that Lynn was shouting, that the people and you were shouting. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. So if the angels are singing it, it's my job to do the same thing. And I believe all of it. Don't lose your wonder. Allow your kids to be kids. We understand. We understand the difference. We understood the truth. But as little children, we were allowed to celebrate. We were allowed to have those fun times. And you know, the boys started putting it together when they had to leave Diet Coke out for Santa. And they started putting those things together. And like I said, when you stop believing, that's when you start getting underwear for Christmas. Hey, what do you call a kid who doesn't believe in Santa? He is a rebel without a clause. I just thought I'd say that. How many are going to bake something fun? I know you got some good stuff. Carmela goes to New York to buy the cream that she puts in stuff. But you got all these different things. And I've seen Troy bake cookies and cakes and all those things. But I love all of you, but don't give me any kind of fruitcake at all. Whose idea was that? I don't know whose idea that was. That was, you know, and there's only one fruitcake. People just keep giving it to somebody else. And that's kind of, there was only one made, I'm telling you right now. I don't know whose idea that was. And since whoever came up with that idea, hey, let's put fruit in our cake for Christmas, the world has suffered since. But let me give you two tips for Christmas. Number one, forget the past. You can't change it. Number two, forget the presents. I didn't get you one. That's what he's, famous Jewish comedian said that. Benjamin Franklin said it this way, though. How many observe Christ's birthday, but how few his precepts? So here I am as a cheerleader for the Jesus of Christmas today. I'm not just celebrating. I'm not just celebrating. I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing in his birthday. But I do know there will be a 26th, a 27th, a 28th, and that's really going to be the message, because the message of Christmas lives all year long right now. I want to share something. I wrote this just to tell you, Merry Christmas. Sing the songs, light the lights, because remember, there's no Christmas light without Jesus Christ. But, you know, they'll keep trying. They'll keep trying to do. It's no longer Easter anymore. It's spring break. It's fall break now. And they'll do everything they can to take away the Jesus of Christmas. He's a congressman from California. He's a stated humanist. He doesn't believe in anything about Jesus Christ. He was invited to light the Christmas tree on the lawn of the White House. And he made it about the tree. This year's tree is a symbol of the beauty and the importance of our nation lands. Remind of our responsibility to conserve those lands so everyone can continue to enjoy those lands. If there was no Jesus of Christmas, there'd be no tree. There'd be no life. There'd be no light to all he brings. There would be no thing. So today, and there's no light here. And in our world and in our nation today, there's no light there. There's no light there because the Jesus of Christmas is being ignored. But 1 John said it so clear and so plain, it smacks you between the eyes. What kind of Christmas cheerleader are you? This is the message that we've heard from him, and I declare it to you. I declare it to you that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. When you have some decisions to make and when you're concerned and maybe you've got a couple things in front of you and you're kind of confused and you're stand back for a minute and ask yourself, do I see light in this? Do I see light in this? Do I see light in this or is it unclear? This is the message I bring to you as a cheerleader. God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. The Jesus of Christmas, it's all about that line that says, in Him. How do you live and breathe? In Him. How are you going to function today and in the year to come? In Him. In Him, I'm encouraging all of you. I'm going to make a statement to you, and you'll hear me hear it a few times. This is exactly what happened. Now, when we read the first part of Luke 1, we're meeting John the Baptist, okay? We're meeting John the Baptist. We're meeting a man by the name of Zacharias. You know who he was. You're meeting a young lady by the name of Elizabeth. You're meeting a young lady by the name of Mary and a young man by the name of Joseph. And we know that near the end, after Mary has received a special visit, it's an overwhelming visit that she's receiving. I always found it very, very, Kenny and I the other night, we read all the Christmas scriptures and we talked about it. We always found it amazing that every time an angel showed up, every time Jesus materialized somewhere, or every time somebody, the first thing they say, don't be afraid. Yeah, right. And each time the angel came, the first thing was, don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid, Joseph. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, shepherds. Don't be afraid, wise men. It's not going to be on the board because I want you to listen to it. Near the end of chapter 1, the praise comes out of Mary after she's had that visit. She's processed what's going on right now. And Mary said this in verse 46 of chapter 1, one of the most beautiful, beautiful words in Scripture. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God who? Mary needed a Savior too. God, my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, and henceforth, though, she understood what the word had said, all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me. That's New King James. And holy is His name. Blessed Mary. So today we turn to Luke chapter 2. Don't have to read the front part. You know it oh so well. You can almost quote the concept of it. That's when the word comes out that the world should be taxed. Confiscatory continues. And Joseph went back to the town of Nazareth near Bethlehem in Judea. There was a census being taken. There would be taxed. And as a descendant of David, that's where Joseph had to go. By the way, in a few weeks, I'm going to talk to you about the descendants of Joseph when we get into the after chapter 2. It's really written. Not enough is said about wonderful Joseph. So verse number 4, I'm reading from the Message Bible for this part right now. Verse number 6, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Don't you know, every one of us guys have heard that. It's time. How many of you backed out the driveway and there she was standing on the corner? Suitcase in hand. It's time. There were two or three times that Linda said, it's time, before he decided to show up. We just kept the bag packed. Here we go again. And finally, he did his thing. Mary said, it's time. She gave birth to a son. By the way, her firstborn. Others to come. But she's going to give birth to God in human flesh. She wrapped him in a blanket. She laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the hostel. Verse number 8, there were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood. They had set watches over their sheep. And by the way, they were common men, okay? They weren't the flashy guys yet. These were common men, which telling you that it is exactly as he said. I told you it happened exactly this way, where it says, this shall be to all people. So the story is being filled out right there. They were there, and suddenly God's angel stood among them. God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. Would you think so? I do. The angel said, don't be afraid, guys. I'm here to announce a great joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. There's no expiration date on this greeting. A Savior has been born in David's town. A Savior who is the Messiah and Master. Now, I love this statement, and this is really why I picked this line. This is what you're to look for. This is what you are to look for. A baby wrapped in a blanket lying in a manger. Now, it was the job of the angel, but it is my job standing in this position today to tell you this is what you should look for. Got it? Specifics. This is what you should look for. I'm not general. I'm not evasive. This is what you should look for. This is what you should look for. This word, this is what you should look for. Something's what should we look for? This is what you should look for. What? Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. And then finally in verse 13, at once the angel was joined. I mean, all of a sudden they all showed up. It was the Mormon tabernacle choir without the Mormons. And there was a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. Glory to God in heavenly heights. Peace to all men, all women on earth who please him. The angel choir then left and went into heaven. The sheep herders talked it over. What do you think about that? Don't you know it didn't happen immediately? Don't you know as they went up like that? I mean, they're looking at each other. Who's going to talk first? I mean, they're holding their staff, and you know a hand's doing kind of something like that. And finally, they begin to talk. Let's go to Bethlehem as fast as we can. Let's go see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. Now remember the statement, number one, this is what you're to look for. And you remember my first statement, this is exactly what happened. You're hearing prophecies. This is what you're going to see. Is it going to happen? Is it really going to come? God's word comes to pass. So I love this. They left. They were running. They found baby and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. I like this statement. Seeing was believing. Seeing was believing. Now that takes care of the human part of us. I'll believe it when I see it. How many of you like that? Some people are just proud. I'll believe it when I see it. You know, I'm a smart person. I'll see these. But you know, the word conflicts with what you think in your mind. Seeing is believing? No. Faith comes by hearing. And sometimes our faith comes before we believe, before sight comes. But for them, seeing was believing. It happened exactly as they were told. Start doing the math here. Everything you're hearing will come to pass exactly as it was told. Some of you have study Bibles, and you can find some words about all the prophecies, whether it was through Isaiah, whether it was through Jeremiah, whether it was from Psalms, throughout the scriptures, and even at the very, very beginning of scriptures, about some of the things we're getting ready to hear. And all these things fell into place. And it stays that way throughout the word. So they told everyone they met what the angel had said about this child. And all who heard their story, they were impressed. At the same time, though, in verse 19, it said, Mary kept all these things. I prefer the King James word. Mary pondered these things in her heart. She held them dear, deep within herself. But nobody else was going to be quiet. You got some common shepherd boys. You got some hoodats here. They've seen something big. They got a little bit of Italian. They're loud. Their hands are moving. And it said, the shepherds returned and they let loose. Y'all, you wouldn't believe what we saw. We were standing right here. This angel shows up and a bunch of them show up. A boatload of them show up. And there they are. And they told us. And sure enough, we went down and he was there. I promise you, he was there. I saw the woman. I saw the whole thing. I saw the man standing there. And we saw this baby. And I got to tell you, when I looked in his eyes, something happened inside of us. And the natural thing, we just dropped to our knees and we gave thanks. Because we had been told that he was going to be the Messiah. And the Master, the Savior. They returned. Now, what do they say, though? They say they let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you've let loose about everything you've heard and seen? When's the last time you said, God's good. God's good. Maybe that's all you got to say. You don't have to walk around and walk into Dillard's at the door and scream, repent. No, you just somebody waits on you. Somebody waits on you. You go, God's good. And yeah, they don't even know what to say to you. God's good. Man, Merry Christmas. God's good. It said they glorified, they praised God for everything they had heard and seen. Now notice the statement there. Watch this. It turned out exactly the way they had been told. I'm telling you a word of God right now from the word of what you've been hearing the last few weeks on these series, what you've been hearing before. It's going to turn out exactly as we've been told. It's going to turn out. Don't you like it when a plan comes together? That's in Proverbs, isn't it? No, I don't think so. Love it when a plan. It turned out exactly. They'd been told what to look for. So who's this Jesus? Who is this Jesus of Christmas? Who's this Jesus? Who is he? Who is he? Who is this one that the angels announced? First, the prophets foretold him. The angels announced him. The shepherds saw him. The wise men worshipped him. So shouldn't all of us know, who is this Jesus? And on that day, and again today, we celebrate the Jesus of Christmas. So what's all this about, though? Well, let's do like the TV shows. They've told a story. You've not quite put it all together. All of a sudden, the Chiron brings the letters on the screen, and it slowly does out, and it goes, 9 months earlier, Matthew chapter 1. And in Matthew, the first part of Matthew, it talks about the birth of Jesus. And it talks about Joseph, and it calls Joseph a just man. He did not want to make a public example. And when he was committed to her, he was going to protect her. He was going to shield her, because the church folk can be pretty gossipy, you know. And you know how they are. And he was there to protect her because of the scorn that was going to come her way. And he was a just and a devout man. And there needs to be more written about Joseph. And I'm going to talk about Joseph when we get into the brand new year. And when it says to put her away secretly, it didn't mean he was hiding her. It was he was protecting her. He was keeping her from stuff she didn't need to see. And actually, what was happening, he was taking the hits for her. And what a beautiful, beautiful picture that is. So finally, we get to verse 20 of Matthew 1. This was 9 months earlier. But while Joseph had a lot to process, by the way. The angel had talked to him and downloaded some real interesting stuff to him. So, but in verse 20, while he thought about these things, an angel appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, now notice his family line. This wasn't just some guy going by on a turnip truck. God picked him. Joseph was as chosen as Mary was chosen. You got it? Because he needed somebody that understood the covenant. He needs somebody that understood these things. And he said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid, and I put in parentheses, and don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to take Mary, your wife. Don't be ashamed. Nobody else has been there. Don't be ashamed. For that which is birthed and conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph had a lot to process, didn't he? You read it in 30 seconds and you go, isn't that beautiful? Didn't happen in 30 seconds. Don't you know he had to process some things? He knew the traditions. He knew the stories. But God had to be speaking to him as much as he was speaking to Mary. The Holy Spirit has done this, and she will bring forth a son. And what's really, really cool, Joseph, I'm giving you the charge to name the boy. Joseph, you're going to name him Jesus. Not Joseph Jr., Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now watch this, verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken to the Lord through the prophet. Watch. This is all happening as they had been told. It's all happening. And what prophet is this referring to? This is referring to the book of Isaiah. You can look it up later. Isaiah 7, verse 14. He said, this is through the prophet that said, behold, a virgin will be with child. Hundreds of years before this moment. But in Isaiah 7, 14, a virgin will be with child, and she will bear a son. They will call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Joseph was finally aroused from his sleep. I think there was a spirit of resolve that came over him. But at the same time, he was saying, okay, Lord, but you help me. You guide my steps. You protect my house, please, God. I'll take care of her. Joseph, aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took to him his wife. In other words, he was married to her. But the boundaries were there. And he did not know her until she brought forth her firstborn son. And sure enough, he did what he was told to do. He called his name Joseph. Joseph, you're a good man. And I wrote this in all red, and this happened exactly as Mary and Joseph had been told. You get where I'm going right now with this? You're hearing a lot of things here. What am I going to leave you with? I bet you know already. This is the Jesus of Christmas. I love the Jesus of Christmas. But there's more to the Jesus of Christmas than just the story. Why did he come? He didn't come for the parties. He didn't come for the lights. He didn't come for the presents. He was on a mission from God, as they say. On day one, he was from God and on a mission from God. How do you know that? Because of the word that we read in verse 21. She will bring forth a son. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I'd like to just point out, his people needed saving. His people needed saving. That person next to you, they needed saving. How many of you say, yeah? That person next to you needed to be saved. You know somebody that needs to be saved right now? Well, he's died. He took care of that. Jesus is here. He is here to bring salvation, to bring light, to bring life. Think about that. His people needed to be saved. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy, Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners. That's the Jesus of Christmas. That's the present he bought, salvation. So that I don't have to pay. I could not pay that. It's a debt I never could pay. I would never. And you've lost the wonder of it, haven't you? You've been saved 20 years, haven't you? Yes, sir. You know, you've been saved. You've lost the wonder. Those people, they're dirty sinners, those people over there, but I'm going to go to church, man. I've done all those. No, he died. He came into the world to save sinners. John said he loved the world. The angel said, this is for you and for all people. Everything that was said came to pass. The good news is it's not finished. C.S. Lewis said it this way. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. Now take that home with you. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become the sons of God. That's what the Jesus of Christmas did for each of us. On his earth mission, by the way, on his earth mission, he died once so that we could be born twice. He died once so we could be born twice. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them the second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Man, is that strong. Man, is that strong. That's the miracle. That's the miracle that he would stoop down to earth, that he would stoop down and the Christmas Jesus would come to visit us. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, it's the miracle of all miracles that the infinite should become an infant. That's the miracle of all miracles. That's the Jesus of Christmas. That's the one we celebrate. We celebrate the only baby that ever asked to be born. You ever seen kids or teenagers, they're going through difficult, well, I didn't ask to be born. No fooling, Sherlock, all right? I didn't ask to be born. No, you've heard him say, and it sounds noble, doesn't it? I didn't ask to be born. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. And that you're a genius. All right, we understand that. But the Jesus of Christmas was the only baby that ever asked to be born. I hope I'm jazzing your wonder back up a bit. I hope I'm lighting your fire just a little bit more. I hope it's a bit warmer. I hope that you're getting it more excited. Christmas is the reality. Here's what I come away with. Christmas is the reality that God keeps every promise he has made. Christmas is the reality that God keeps every promise he ever made. He told Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall conceive. What did you read about the New Testament? A virgin conceive. The prophet said his name would be called Emmanuel. What would the angel say? His name's going to be called Emmanuel. You keep reading. He's going to come and save his people from their sins. It's exactly as he said it. Or as the little kid says, exactly, exactly like they said it. And for you and for me, I say to you, this will turn out exactly the way he said. There are promises to each of you that he's made. There's promises that he's made to us universal, but there are also promises individually for the special needs we might have and the things we've shed our tears about, the things we are concerned about. He will keep his word. He will keep his promise because it will turn out exactly, because the Jesus of Christmas was the one I've been talking last week on the one of the videos, and we call it Shine the Light. The Christmas Jesus turned all the lights on. What do you mean? Well, Isaiah 9 said it this way. We walked in darkness, talking about a people who walked in darkness, but we've seen a great light. That theme, because the promise is kept, Paul says it in Ephesians 5. For once, you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. That's from the Christmas Jesus. So live as people of light. Now, that's a real challenge I'm going to throw at you periodically during this year. I've been kind of ordered to do this. Live as people of light next year. Walk around as people of light. You know the difference. For this light within you produces only that which is good, that which is right, and that which is true. I'm going to read this in a few weeks again. But verse 10 right there makes this statement. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. That's how you live as somebody of light. Carefully determine. There's no woo-woo there. You don't have to pray about this. Carefully determine what pleases God. Well, I don't know what. Yeah, you do. Get close to God and you'll know. Get God and you'll know. Get God and you'll know. It'll please him. You're with somebody long enough, you know what pleases them. You don't have to be told. You know what pleases God. Great story, isn't it? I'm having more fun than I should. The Christmas of Jesus brought all of this to us today. The Christmas Jesus is as real as he was on that Bethlehem morning. He is so good. He's so loving. The Jesus of Christmas, he is our great Savior. I heard a beautiful story I saved for 6 months for this day when we're talking about the Jesus of Christmas. So a group of American Christians in the 19th century planned to visit London for a week. Their friends, excited for the opportunity, encouraged them to go hear two of London's most famous preachers and then bring back a report. On Sunday morning after their arrival, the Americans attended Joseph Parker's church. They discovered that his reputation for eloquent oratory was so well deserved. One exclaimed after the service, "I do declare it must be said, there is no doubt that Joseph Parker is the greatest preacher that there ever was." The group wanting to return that evening to hear Parker preach again said, "No, we're going to hear another preacher tonight. His name is Charles Spurgeon." So on Sunday evening, they attended the Metropolitan Tabernacle where Spurgeon was preaching. The group was not prepared for what they heard, and as they departed, one of them spoke up again and said, "I do declare it must be said, for there is no doubt that Jesus Christ is the greatest Savior that ever was." That is the Jesus of Christmas. It's not me doing a job or somebody else. But I have to proclaim that he is a great Savior, the great Savior. And everything you've heard today, last week, the weeks to come, and even the deposit in your life, if I stand on this word correctly, I stand with the authority of the word saying, every bit of this will come true. It will come to pass as he said. If it's in accordance with his word, if we've prayed according to his will, not snapping our fingers, ask God to dance. If we say according to his will, if we are doing the things that please God, as I read a little bit earlier, I can tell you everything they heard came to pass as it was said. And our friends up in Indiana many years ago said, "Get all excited. Go tell everybody. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. It said, the shepherds got noisy. They got raucous. They got excited. Dude, we've seen angels. I'll tell you that right now. And he gave us a map, and we went right there, and there it happened. You're not going to believe. Don't you know that changed the trajectory of their life? And if I had time, I'll touch on them during the message next week. He's dealing with the lowly of the society. And then we talk about the other ones that he gathered. They represent it. And this will be to all people. Get up, stand. Jesus' name. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is the greatest Savior there has ever been. And I'm here to tell you that the Jesus of Christmas has arrived. He's here. He's present. So today I speak life to you. I speak blessing to each one of you this morning. I pray you have a wonderful week. I pray you have some laugh moments. I pray there's a time, too, that you can get away by yourself. You might have a lot of clamor. You might have a lot of things you got to deal with. A lot of pressure to perform sometimes. And that's a difficult thing. And I just pray that you'll find moments of laughter, moments of life, moments where you pull away and say, I'm thankful for the Jesus of Christmas. Where do I start? You don't understand. I've got all these problems. If his light is in you, start there by saying thank you. Because the word said in the prophet, and Paul wrote it again, we were a people who walked, who lived, who were destined to spend our lives in darkness. But behold, we have seen a great light. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory, glory to the newborn King.